happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. Saturday, what a day.
Oh, that's right. We're right here, Sharp Fast's Gallery, this afternoon, 4:07 in the afternoon. Folks, got a beautiful day out there today. And I have Marcia Kelly Clark. She wants to be the next coroner. She's been in that office for 12 years, and she wants to stay there as the head coroner. So we're talking to Marcia Kelly Clark. And how are you doing today, Marcia?
I'm doing great.
Good.
Thank you for talking
to that microphone.
Okay.
You're doing good?
I'm doing great.
Yeah.
I appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. So, you know, it really is a shame. You were on the ballot. Then you ended up off the ballot. You didn't think you were going to have to do a petition, right?
I didn't to begin with, no.
And then by the time that you found out you had to, you didn't have any time.
That's exactly right.
So, unfortunately, Marcia Kelly Clark, you are going to be a write-in candidate.
I am. Now, I did file as a petition candidate, but all the names were not registered voters, and when they started marking them off, that's how I ended up petition. So, I had the 2000.
So, you had done all the work.
I did all the work.
2,000 signatures. That's a lot of signatures.
It was. And I did those, and I had a lot of help doing them. I have to really say I did. Had a lot of help, and I had the 2,000 names to actually file, but once they started marking them off, I was a little short. So
a little short.
Now I'm right in.
Well, you know, that gives you the ultimate flexibility, doesn't it, Marcia?
I'm one and all, that's right.
So, gosh, you are looking, how's the campaign been?
Oh, it's been a daily thing.
A daily grind?
Every day. I've done something or been somewhere, and I've met so many wonderful people, and it's just been amazing. It's been a lot of hard work, but it's been amazing.
Absolutely.
Something new to me.
Now, Marcia, I know you've been in the coroner's office for 12 years. Why are you wanting to be the coroner? And, you know, I want to say this. A lot of people, you know, getting off the ballot would just throw up their hands and give up. Why are you continuing this fight, Marcia?
For 12 years, I have dedicated myself to that office. And the people that I have dealt with over these years, they mean so much to me, every single one of them. And that's all I can see myself doing. I love people, and I love helping people, and I know what it's like to lose someone, and I know you need somebody there that can help. And if I can help any of them, that's what I want to do, and that's what I want to do the rest of my life. It's just, it's a calling, and I've been there 12 years, like you said, and I can't see me doing anything else.
So, when you had an opponent for this, I guess it surprised you.
It did. It really did, because I've never made it a secret that one day I would run for coroner, because from the very first day, I've just always known that's what I wanted to do once I got into it, and I was shocked. But that's why I'm determined not to give up. It doesn't matter, write in, on the ballot, petition, whatever. I'm not giving up. I'm taking it to the very end, and you know, whatever happens, happens, and I'll be at the end fighting.
Now, Marcia, you know, as far as the coroner, I think we've talked some about it, but what does it actually take to be a coroner in today's world? Just to be the coroner, what does it take?
Well, every state has different, you know, in some states like South Carolina, you are a coroner. Other states require your medical examiner, which you have to have a doctor's degree. In South Carolina, it's just a coroner, but you have to have, everybody in the office has to have 16 hours of training per year. That's a requirement. But the Coroners Association have come out, there's a class, the American Board of Medical Legal Death Investigation, and it's a class in in St. Louis, that I took back in 2000, but I didn't take the exam to be certified, so 2 years ago I took that exam. But now the Coroners Association in South Carolina is going to require anybody in a coroner's office has that exam to have that certification to even work in a coroner's office, whether a deputy coroner or a coroner. So there's a lot of training. I mean, and it's learning every day. Every time you go on a call, you learn more. And, you know, you interact with doctors and families, and there's just so much. Every offices, insurance companies, there's a lot to do. But I think to be the coroner, you've got to have that certification, and then you got to keep up your training. But it takes a special person,
I think, to deal with death day in and day out. Well, I mean, you're dealing with death.
Absolutely.
You're dealing with heart-wrenching situations. You're dealing with death that is old age, or thank goodness that finally this has come, but you're dealing with some horrific situations too.
Absolutely. I mean, there's five types of death, you know, and every one of them's different. And even if it's a natural death, like you said, if it's an elderly person, it doesn't matter if they're 99 years old. That somebody just lost their mom or their father or a loved one. It doesn't matter. I mean, it's still is a death, it's still someone losing someone to me. I don't care if it's a 5-year-old or a 99-year-old. Somebody has lost somebody, and I'm going to do what I can do to be there for that family. You know, I'm going to help them in any way possible. That's just what I do, and I can't imagine not helping them.
Now, as far as the coroner, as far as autopsies and that type of thing, that actually does go to a medical doctor to do an autopsy?
Yes. The coroner's office here has basically used Newberry, Dr. Ross is there now, and Anderson and Dr. Woodard. Now, if we have a death that is at Greenville Memorial, if like somebody's transferred from Greenwood to Greenville, we use Dr. Ward up there instead of having to take the body to Anderson or Newberry. But yes, but we do the transport. We transport the bodies back and forth. The coroner's office, one of us in the office takes the bodies and then brings them back. So they are done somewhere else.
Now, as a coroner, what other responsibilities do you have as coroner?
Well, when you have a death, I mean, you go out to a death and you don't just walk in and say that they're gone and then you leave. I mean, you call in funeral homes if that's the case, and you wait till the funeral home gets there and you help them with the body, or you have to take the body to the morgue and then set up an autopsy or draw fluids, and then you deal with insurance companies, you deal with toxicology reports, autopsy reports, funeral homes, cremation societies, or, you know, anything. Police reports, if it's an accident, you're going to have the highway patrol if the mate team has to come out. I mean, there's just so many different agencies that we deal with. And it's not all of them on a daily basis, but there's a lot of them involved in every death. There's at least two agencies that we're involved with every death. That's at least the funeral home and at least the doctor's office, because we always notify a doctor's office if a patient had a regular doctor. So it's not just that's it. We've got somebody to talk to on every single death there is.
And, you know, Marcia, when you started out, what type of background did you have 12 years ago?
Well, in the 80s, I started as a 911 dispatcher, and then swinging shifts and having small kids just didn't work, and I left. And I owned my own business. I had a residential cleaning business, and I missed dispatching, and I went back to dispatching. And after a year, I found out about a clerk job in the coroner's office, and I went and applied for that, and I did that for a week. Well, I did that for 5 or 6 years. I mean, right. I did all the office work too. I handled all the office work and became a deputy coroner at the same time, and now I have somebody in the office that helps with the office work, but over the years it's grown, and it's gotten to be a lot more, and there's just absolutely no way I could do it all by myself. But I also have my county computer at home that I do a lot from home. I work, you know, I can have a call in the middle of the night, but I can do my part, the office part, from home. So it may be done at 3 o'clock in the morning, but I still do it. So, but yeah, I mean, I've been involved in always help in public service, I believe.
Sure. But I mean, if somebody came into that office that didn't have a lot of experience, it would be tough to get up to speed, would it?
It would be very hard, very hard. I mean, just signing a death certificate. I mean, there's certain ways you sign a death certificate, certain things that can and cannot go on those. I mean, that it would be very hard.
A job you can just step into.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And it doesn't matter what kind of business you've been in, you still don't know the backside of what's in the office and what we do in the office as far as the backside of a death. You know, I mean, just if you, a funeral home person, if they go to pick up and they do the funeral home side of businesses, there's still a lot of other stuff that's involved in the coroner part of it. So it would be very difficult
to put a new person in there.
Yes.
All right. Well, we are here with Marcia Kelly Clark. Hey, if you've got a question for Marcia, don't hesitate to pick up that phone, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. Give us a call. We're going to hear a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
All right, we're here at Sharp Facets Gallery. Hey, I'm Ann Eller right here with Marcia Kelly Clark. She wants to be the next coroner. But right now, Marcia, you're not totally in charge, are you?
I'm not.
I work for Jim
Corsi. He's been the coroner for 13 years. When I first started there, Jim had taken over the office, and he's actually the coroner. I was just a deputy coroner, and in 2005 he promoted me to chief deputy coroner. And I have a lot of responsibilities, but I don't run the place.
But you don't run the place.
I don't run the place. I have a boss.
Well, if you were the boss, would you make some changes?
I don't think there's anything wrong in there now. I think there's some things that can be done differently, and certainly some new advancements. You know, we need to keep up with the larger counties. I realize that we're a small county, but we still see a lot of the things that are happening in the bigger towns and the bigger cities. And, you know, it does come this way eventually, and I think we need to be prepared for it. School shootings or these movie theater shootings or, you know, we have car wrecks with more than one person. Everybody in that office needs to be prepared for something like that. I just think we need to keep up with the new technology.
So, okay.
A lot of things are changing.
But basically you feel good about that, just maybe make some advances.
Absolutely.
That would do that. Now, if you become coroner, then you will need to hire somebody, or what will the office do?
We have another full-time person in the office, and then the girl that works in the office, she also takes calls too, but she does the office work. She just gets a time off if she has to be out on a call. And then there's two part-time positions. I'm not sure what's going to happen at the end of the year with them in the budget, but right now we have them, and they cover every other weekend, the two guys. Basically, I answer just about all the calls. But that's fine. I try to help them out when they go out on a call if they need something, or they need to be backed up, or they need assistance. I'm there.
Sure.
That's what I devote myself to do, to help them. And, you know, I don't think there'll be any problem with having to hire people. I don't see any need for that.
So
we'll
you
just
think
have to,
staffing could be okay? It's all going to depend on what the budget dictates.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's the weekend things, and which I have no problem covering weekends. You know, I'm not one that come Friday, I'm done for the week. You know, that's just not me. I'm just available on weekends as I am during the week. But I think scheduling will, there'll be a change in the scheduling. But
okay.
I don't see a problem with what we have.
And you know, one of the things that kind of bothers me about this office is the fact that it is an elected office. I mean, there's actually several of these offices that are up for election this year that, to me, just seem to be, they should be based on a resume and most qualifications.
I agree. I mean, local county offices, that, you know, they're the coroner's office, and like you said, a couple other, they are elected. And I think it's just always been that way. But as you said a minute ago, this office and other ones, you can't just walk in and start doing them. I mean, there's so much training. It doesn't matter if you've trained in another field that you work with in this office. It's still a total different ballgame, and there's a lot of training to be done in each one. So the best qualified for these jobs are that's the best way to go. As far as the elected, I think it's just been that way for all these years, and nothing's changed.
Nothing's changed. All right. Well, you know, it would, you know, in some aspects, it would be kind of like having an election for our city manager, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I don't think that would work that well.
That would work.
Yeah, but the, we have a mayor office that works just fine.
Right.
Yeah.
Right,
exactly.
Absolutely.
So, Marcia is running to be the next coroner. She's been there for 12 years. You've been the chief deputy coroner since what?
2005.
2005. So mm-hmm. That's going on 7 years, Marcia.
Yes.
That's a long time.
Well, you know, sometimes it seems like I walked in there yesterday, and then sometimes I can sit and think about all the people I've met over the years, and it seems like a lifetime, but every day's been worth it. Every day it's been worth it to me.
Are you a macabre person?
Huh?
Are you a macabre person? You like death and all these kind
of things? No. It's not that side of it. It's the family side of it to me. You just cannot imagine the feeling that you have when you walk away from a family and you know that you've helped them. You know you've given them an answer to their question or you just sat with them and let them cry for an hour, whatever they need. I mean, when you turn around and walk away and you have that feeling, there's no way to describe it. And I love people, and I love knowing that I can help people. And I've studied, and I learn every day. Every time I go out, I learn something new. And I always bring that back. And you know, helping somebody is just, it's a blessing for me. It's a blessing.
Well, that job, I'm sorry, but that job has to be a calling because I could not see myself doing that at all, I'm telling you.
it's very difficult at times. I'll cry with a family. I'll be the first one to cry sometimes, you know, but that's just the way I feel about it, you know. But I'm going to get to the bottom of whatever they need to know. I'm going to find an answer. It might take me, I've had one that took over 3 months, but we found an answer. It took a while, and it took a lot of phone calls and several doctors, but we got to the bottom of it, and you know, that family was so grateful, and I didn't feel like it was me. You know, I was glad that I was able to do that.
Sure.
So I'm just it's
so
just
a coroner's office is really bringing peace of mind.
It is. It brings
closure
absolutely to a family, especially if it's an unexpected death. You know, those are the hardest because
sure,
you know. You can have somebody in your family that's sick, and you know it's coming. But even then, it's not any easier when it happens. You know, you can watch somebody be sick for 2 years, and you know the end's coming. But when it happens, it's still hard.
Sure.
But an unexpected death,
when you don't have that opportunity to
right,
say goodbye,
right? And
yep.
You don't know why. You don't right. know why it happened. And I'm going to do what I can to provide those answers for that family.
Sure. And then, of course, there've been boating accidents. Bottom of the lake. I mean,
oh, yes.
All this type of thing.
We've had, you know, the fires, the boating, the car wrecks, the shootings. It's just been.
Seems like we're having more of those, Marcia.
We've had a lot of shootings this year. We really have. Gun control is it's sad. You know, people that just they. I don't know. I mean, I'm not a gun person, so I you know, that bothers me when it's a gun involved, but. You know, it's just so sad to lose someone like that. And it's sad for the person that did it, too, because in a split second, they've just ruined their life or their life has changed.
Absolutely.
You know, and driving, that's the same thing. You know, the kids.
I think the texting law that's in effect in Greenwood is a very good thing.
I really do. And most people think wrecks happen because of alcohol, and that is completely not true. We have just as many wrecks and deaths from motor vehicle accidents without alcohol as we do with alcohol. There's, you know, running off the side of the road at going 30 miles an hour can cause a car to flip over.
Sure.
You know, there's seatbelts. If you don't have a seatbelt on, it could kill you. If you do have a seatbelt on, it could kill you. But there's just so many other things involved, and it's not always alcohol. It's not. And that, bringing awareness to teenagers, you know, they're inexperienced, and then they try listening to the radio and talking to their friends and the cell phones.
Sure.
But there's a lot of other, and eventually, if I'm elected coroner, I would like to talk to the teens and talk to people and about the other things besides the alcohol and the drugs that are involved in them.
So you'd like to do more education?
Absolutely. Effort. And infant deaths is a really touchy subject with me, too. Most infant deaths are because of unsafe sleeping conditions, and that is just horrible, horrible reason. You know, these young mothers and fathers, they're tired, they're worn out, they're trying to stay up all day, all night feedings. If you know somebody that has a new baby, help them, because they sit down and say, well, I'll sit here a minute and feed. Everybody goes to sleep, the baby rolls off. It's very sad. Those are two things that I really want to get involved in.
Absolutely. Well, we are here with Kelly, Marcia Kelly Clark, and we're going to hear South Carolina news. She is running for coroner. So don't you go away. We'll be right back. Hey, if you got a question for Marcia, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984.
This is Philip Biffle, your Greenwood Edward Jones Financial Advisor. Do you have a recovery plan for your investments? If not, there are several reasons we think you should. While interest rates are very low, certain income strategies and investments could help increase your investment income. Also, many investment portfolios are out of balance at a time when proper investment diversification may be most critical. You also may want to review your portfolio to consider replacing lower quality investments with higher quality investments that may be at attractive prices. No one can control what the market will do next. You can, however, take advantage of investment opportunities that exist today. At the same time, it is important to be well positioned for whatever the market does tomorrow. Please call me, Philip Biffle, or stop by my office today to develop your personalized recovery plan investment strategy. Please call me, Philip Biffle, at 229-0444, or stop by my office today to develop your personalized recovery plan investment strategy. Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing, member SIPC.
We're right back here with Marcia Kelly Clark. That's right. Now, if you want Marcia Kelly Clark to be the next coroner, you're going to have to write her name into on the ballot. Now, Marcia, where exactly will your name be on the ballot?
My name will not be on the ballot.
There'll be a space under the corner.
There'll be a space for write-in, and you write in Marcia Clark or M.K. Clark. That's two of the ways, and that's the easiest ways, and that's what I've been telling everyone, just Marcia Clark or M.K. Clark. It doesn't have to be Marcia Kelly Clark. That's kind of confusing. So,
sure.
But I have sent a letter in to the election office with several ways, so anything that shows intent, it will count.
Okay. But will that actually be under the coroner's box?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So your opponent's name will be there, and then there'll be an empty box.
Right. That says write-in.
Write-in.
And you click that one, and it'll bring up the keyboard to type in or write in Marcia Clark or M.K. Clark.
Okay. So if you would like to see Marcia stay in this office, you need to be prepared to do that. So that also means that one of the things that I'm questioning, because I've seen the ballots and everything, it really is going to be hard for somebody to vote just straight ticket with the petition candidates and everything that are going on this time.
If you vote straight ticket, you're really not going to vote for any local office at all, because everybody is petitions. Well, the solicitor's not, are they? So
no, and some are on there twice. They're
right
on there as the party and as
petition.
A petition.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So you've got to go on down further and look at the the local offices and continue and finish the ballot. And then when you go to hit your submit, it'll tell you that you haven't completed the ballot to go back. So it does give you an option to let you know that you haven't completed every office on there.
And, of course, if you don't want to vote for an office,
don't.
You don't have to.
Right.
But it does alert you to the fact you may have missed one.
Absolutely.
And when you're reviewing that ballot as you're going through, you want to make sure that you have marked what you want. But the interesting thing on the coroner's office is there is only, the Republican candidate. There is no Democratic candidate.
There's no Republican. He's petitioned.
He's just petitioned.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he wouldn't be on a straight ticket either.
Okay. So if you're going to vote, you need to vote for the coroner's office. You need to make a choice. And if you want Marcia Kelly Clark to be the next coroner, and she certainly has the experience and she certainly has the experience to do this job.
And the feelings.
And the feelings
yep.
for it. So you're going to have to make a choice, and that's who's going to be the person next year. Now, when you're elected to this office, when do you actually become official coroner?
I think it's January 15th.
First
part of January. And it's a four-year term. It's a four-year office. So it's a four-year.
Just 4 years. Well, it's not like some of our state offices where
they're
it's only 2 years.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yep.
All right, so we were talking about some of the issues of being a coroner. You know, you told us about how you'd like to have more education for young people education. And you were talking about babies, small children, you know, falling asleep, having them in bed with you, this type of thing.
I would love for all of the public to be aware of what the coroner's office does for anybody, but as far as the educational things, and I'd like to see these kind of some programs set up in the office where we go and talk to teenagers and young adults. It doesn't have to be teenagers, just young people on the driving, you know, everything they can be doing in the car and not paying attention, because, like I said, it's not always alcohol that people say, oh, they must have been drinking. That's not the case a lot. A lot of times it's not. And the infants, it's usually newborns. Mm-hmm. When they go home, and mamas and dads are just so tired from every 4 hour feedings, and you know, well, I'll just sit here in the chair and feed them, and you know, mom dozes off.
I used to not fall asleep fast. Boy, I can fall asleep in a minute when I sit down in a chair.
But you know, years and my kids slept with me, my baby slept with me. It was a thing that you did back, but it's really become. It's become more knowledgeable to me because I've worked so many of them, and it's so. Sad to see that happen. And you know, not only have you lost your child, but you've got to live with the fact that you fell asleep and this happened, and I don't want anybody to blame themselves ever.
Sure.
But it does happen, and so anytime we can bring awareness, and I've always been involved in the Safe Kids organization here in Greenwood, then helping children, little kids, bike riders and stuff, giving helmets and to be able to put car seats in cars correctly. And
sure.
I've always been involved with Safe Kids. And there's also every 3 months, I'm on a child death review committee with Dr. Grattan Smith. He's on the big committee down in Columbia. But every 3 months we meet and we discuss all children's deaths, anybody 18 and under. We go over all deaths for the last 3 months. And anything that we can do, it's somebody from the hospital, Dr. Smith, somebody from DSS, if the law enforcement was involved in any, and we try to get them to attend, and we look at every death and see what we can do as people in these offices to help
sure.
prevent these deaths. So, and it's very, very, very important to me. Very important to me. And I'd really like to see something like that done on a regular basis out of the office.
Absolutely. Well, these are things that can happen if you become the next coroner.
And I hope so.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
All right. Now, Marcia, you are having a meet and greets.
I am. I have one on the 29th. That's on Monday, the 29th, at the depot in 96 at 5 p.m. until just whenever people need me there, I'll be there.
Okay.
And I'm going to have some light refreshments and light snacks there. And then on Tuesday, the 30th, I'm going to be at Howard's on Main, Uptown Greenwood, and we're also going to have some Howard snacks there.
Howard snacks.
Howard
okay.
snacks there. I'm looking
forward
to it.
And what time will that be?
At 5 p.m.
5
p.m. 5 until I'll stay as long as anyone needs me to. And if anyone wants to call and ask me, you know, they can call me anytime. I'll be glad to meet with anybody.
What's your telephone number, Marcia?
323-2943. And anybody has any questions about me or about the office or my goals for the office, I'll be glad to meet with anybody and talk. I have no problem. I have no problem discussing what I would like to do if I'm elected coroner. I'll be glad to answer any questions.
I know you're passionate about this.
It's my heart. It's my heart. You're going to make me cry.
I don't want to make you cry here now, Marcia. I want you to... I just can tell listening to you that this is definitely close to your heart.
And
been doing this for 12 years, and you want to continue this?
Very much. I want to dedicate the rest of my life to helping people.
Absolutely. So she wants to be the next coroner. How can you help her become the next coroner? Well, you're going to have to write her name in. You're not going to find it on the ballot. You're going to have to write it in. Now, Marcia, what can they write in under the coroner's box there?
They can write Marcia Clark or E.M.K. Clark are the two easiest. That I've sent the letter that's got several ways, but those two are the easiest to do, just Marcia Clark or M.K. Clark. It doesn't have to be my whole name completely spelled correctly. I think that used to happen. It had to be.
Or it was discounted.
Right, but now it's different. And I think out of all the ways that it can be done, Marcia Clark or M.K. Clark is the two easiest ways to do it.
Okay. All right. We are here with M.K. Clark. Okay. Hey, I'm Ann Eller. We're right here at Sharp Facets. Do you have a question for M.K. Clark, Marcia Kelly Clark? Well, why don't you give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be right back. Don't you go away. These days are
gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of...
This year will be a simpler year. One fine gift to last a lifetime from Mother Earth with love. A diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood, 229-6276.
Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days.
We're right back here with M.K. Clark. You need to remember that name if you want to keep the person that's been in this office in that office. You'll have a choice coming up on November 6th. Hard to believe, Marcia, that it is so close.
It seems like yesterday it was a year away, and now all of a sudden it's less than 2 weeks. It just...
Will you be glad, though, when it's over?
I will. I think
you get weary.
People,
yeah.
It towards the end here, I've just become tired.
Yeah, weary.
Everybody, yeah,
yes,
everybody.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't think it's just me. I think it's everybody's just ready.
No, everybody that I talk to says they'll be glad to wake up on November
7th. I agree. I just want to sleep on November the 6th. I don't ever sleep anyway, and then this has really gotten more, made it worse. So yeah, I just want one night's sleep.
I understand.
More than 3 hours at a time.
Now, Marcia, you know, when you talk about your qualifications and everything, the very fact that you have been in the field for any number of type of cases, whether I guess you could say whether it's a drowning, a car wreck, a shooting, all of these things, they have to give you the experience and the composure. I mean, you've got to have composure and know exactly what you're doing.
Absolutely. And the training that I have in the classroom and from schools and stuff is great, but there's nothing like responding to a call. And I've added up between 2003 and July of 2011, the coroner's office, someone in the office actually responded out to one of these calls over 1,700 times. Personally, I was on over 800 of them. So I have a lot of experience in the field. And like you said, I've witnessed all of it.
Yeah.
You know, the many different types of deaths, and I've learned from each one of them. And I'm right there in them. You know, I'll be the first to crawl up under a house. I'll put on a fireman's uniform and crawl up under a house. I'll put on a gas mask and go in a house. I'll crawl on top of a car. Whatever I have to do, that's my job, and that's what I do.
Sure.
I can't answer their questions unless I'm in there and I know what's going on. And that family is looking toward me to answer those questions, and I'm going to give them the answers that they deserve, but I've got to be in there first. And if that's what it takes for me to do, that's what I'm going to do.
Well, you know, that's the type of person that has to be passionate about her job.
Absolutely. I mean, I am. I'm passionate about the people that have lost somebody, and I'm going to do the best that I can do to help them in a horrible, horrible situation.
Well, you think about the fact of, you didn't start out your life working in, working in the coroner's office. I mean, you're not 25, Marcia. You look good.
I'm not. I'm not double 20. I'm almost double 25, but I'm not there.
Right. But, I mean, to find your passion, I mean, that has to be some satisfaction, particularly probably when you were 25, you didn't really know where you were going.
Well, I've always enjoyed helping helping people. And, you know, I started as a 911 dispatcher, and that was, you know, it was very dear to me to do that. And then, but you're right. Now I love Quincy. Quincy was my favorite show when I was a little girl. So maybe that wore off on me, I don't know. But the day that I walked in that coroner's office, and I can tell you, I can remember the very first call I went on, and I knew from that first day that somebody sent me here for a reason, and I'm going to do everything I can to help people, and I've made it my job to do that.
Sure.
And that's just, it's grown over the years. That first call got to me, and I've just been that determined over the years, and I don't think you'll find anybody that will say that I didn't answer their questions.
Sure.
It might have taken a while, but I did what they needed.
Yep.
And I want to continue doing that.
Now, as the coroner, do you have to have a coroner for every death? How does it work as far as having a coroner?
If it's a home death, if it's outside a medical facility, we respond to somebody.
So if you're in the hospital, you don't have to have the coroner unless
if it's a suspicious death inside a medical facility, like a fall or an accident or somebody got shot or they were in a car wreck or something like that, we still have to respond to those. Anything other than a natural death, that's inside a medical facility. But anytime outside a medical facility, the coroner's office has to respond. Hospice deaths, you know, these are patients that are terminally ill.
Sure.
And they're under a doctor's care, and they have a nurse on the scene. Hospice of the Piedmont, Corsi had actually fixed it where, or Jim Corsi had actually fixed it where we don't respond to Hospice of the Piedmont, but there's so many other hospice organizations that have opened their doors, and we do respond to those calls. We have to have the paperwork has to be done. There's a certain type of paperwork that has to be done on every death. But, yes, we do respond to anything outside a medical facility.
Now, who all can sign a death certificate?
Anybody in the office that's been...
In the coroner's office?
In the coroner's office.
Can a doctor sign a death certificate?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yes. And we always would like if the person is a patient of a doctor or a regular patient, we would love for the doctor to sign it because they know that person better.
Sure.
They know their health problems. But there's many times that a doctor says, I wasn't there when they died. I'm not signing it. And it's up to the coroner's office to do it. Over the last 6 years, DHEC actually come out with death certificates online. And by next year, everybody will be required to do them online. The last 6 years since we've been doing them online, I'm the only one that's ever signed death certificates online in the office. I think two have been signed by the other girl in the office when I was watching her, helping her do it. But we have to get medical records. We have to be able to read those medical records. And, you know, over time, over 12 years, I've talked to many doctors, and I've learned a lot of medical stuff. It's just, like you said, it doesn't come overnight.
Sure.
There's a lot of other things involved in it. You've got to figure out what this word means or break it down or get the dictionary out and look it up or call a doctor who will answer your call at any time of the day and night. Thank goodness I have a couple of those too that help me. You know, you just, it's a learning. It takes a long time, and I've been doing it for 12 years, and I have a lot of knowledge about it. But yes, we do sign the death certificates too.
Okay. All right. And if it's outside of a hospital facility, there has to be a death.
Yes.
That's the law.
Absolutely.
Okay.
You know, if an ambulance is called to a scene and somebody's passed away, you cannot move a body without, it's a burial transit form out of the coroner's office, and it has to be signed by a deputy coroner to even move the body.
Wow.
So we have to respond to them.
So,
and then there's cremation permits. That's a total different thing. You know, there's a law in South Carolina that the coroner's office in the county in which the person died has to issue a cremation permit. You can't cremate a body without the coroner in that county giving you permission. And then
now there's a scary idea.
You've got to have certain paperwork before a permit can be issued. I mean, you've got to have the death certificate. You've got to have family authorization. Every child of a person has to sign an authorization to cremate. You may not have had contact with that person for 20 years, but guess who gets to look them up and find them and chase them down? You know, it's a lot of work.
I didn't realize that everybody in the family are the children.
Have to sign. If there's 20 children, you've got to have 20 signatures.
Wow.
There's a lot that goes on the backside in the office part of a coroner's office that nobody is aware of. And it is a lot of work, but it's rewarding in the end. It is to me.
Sure.
It's rewarding.
Do you think, okay, now then I'm going to be devil's advocate here. Do you think we have too many regulations in the coroner's office, such as having to have all 20 children, if there were 20 children sign
well,
up
no,
cremation?
No, because I think when I say you have to have all children, you have to...
You have to make a good faith effort.
Absolutely.
Okay.
If you try, I mean, you know, you... And
you cannot find somebody that
and that
does
has
them
happened.
Sure.
That has happened. And or you've got to have, you know, you've got to go to probate court with it and say, we've done all we can do. And the judge says, okay, it's fine. You know, I don't think there's too many regulations. I think it's to protect families, and it's there for a reason, and everybody wants to be protected. I don't believe there's too many.
Well, I just thought I'd ask.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, sometimes, and there are a lot of things where we have too many regulations.
Well, there are, but you know, when you're talking about somebody's personal life and things in their personal life, you got to be careful there.
Right.
And I think being better, I'd rather be safe than sorry. I'd rather do it the way it should be done. And I think everything's there for a reason, for a good reason.
Absolutely. Well, Marcia Kelly Clark, or Marcia Clark, or M.K. Clark, you can sign her name anyway close to any of those names and get her on the ballot there. She is a write-in candidate. You will not see her name on the ballot. But we have about 2 minutes left, Marcia, and I always like to give our candidates 2 minutes at the end to tell people why they should vote for him.
Well, I would love for people to vote for me because, as I've said over and over here, I've been here 12 years. I have the experience. I have the knowledge of what to do and where to begin at a death. I've also done the office work. I'm familiar with everything from the budget to payroll to ordering supplies. I can handle all that. I've done it for 12 years. And the biggest thing is I'm going to assist you until the end, until there's just no other way if you lose someone. I'm very passionate about anybody who loses a family member because I've been there myself, and I'm going to help you. But the biggest thing is I have the experience to help you. I have the knowledge of 12 years of doing it, actually being there and doing the job.
Hands-on
experience, and that's a big thing. That you need somebody like that in the office that can help you and know how to get the answers for you. Not just finding the answers, but know how to find the answers. Because a lot of times it's difficult. But when you've been doing it for as long as I have, you know, you learn every day. I learn every day, and I want to spend the rest of my life career helping the people. And I would appreciate anybody that wants to talk to me. I'd be glad to talk to anybody anytime.
What's your telephone number?
323-2943.
And you're having two
two
meet and greets?
I will be at the Depot in 96 on the 29th at 5 p.m., and then I will be at Howard's on Main in Greenwood on the 30th, Tuesday the 30th at 5 p.m., and I'll stay there as long as I need to be there. I'll answer any questions about the office or my qualifications for the office, and I would love for people to come out. We are going to have snacks and refreshments, so I would love for anybody to just stop by and introduce yourself. I love to meet people, so that would be great. And I would appreciate if you'd write in Marcia Clark or M.K. Clark when you go to vote.
Absolutely. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. M.K. Clark, Marcia Kelly Clark, thanks for being here today.
Thank you. I've really enjoyed it, and I appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. We will be posting that podcast on the website probably tonight. The video will be uploaded tomorrow, so take the time to go to our politicians page right there on WCRS1450AM.net. That's going to do it for us. Bye-bye, everybody.